Welcome to episode 19 of Practical Defense, Road Rage with Dr. X. Welcome back to another episode of Practical Defense. I'm your host, Alex Addix. We have a guest with us this episode. Dr. X is back to help us understand road rage. You might remember Dr. X from episode 4, where he spoke with us on the matter of the criminal mind. Dr. X is a retired clinical psychiatrist with decades of experience and spent 20 years working in prisons with the criminally insane. Although he's now retired, he still prefers to keep his name private for personal security reasons. And the good doctor was generous with his time again and spoke with us on the topic of road rage. And here's the interview. We have a guest with us this episode. Dr. X is back to help us understand road rage. Thanks for coming back, Dr. X.
It's a pleasure to be here with you again.
Now, before we really get started on the topic, I wanted to make sure that our listening audience understands the definition of road rage versus just aggressive driving. So I went to the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration website, which is a U.S. government agency, and they've got a really long, convoluted definition here, but I'll read it verbatim. It said, road rage differs from aggressive driving. It is a criminal offense and is an assault with a motor vehicle or other dangerous weapon by the operator or passengers of one motor vehicle on the operator or passengers of another motor vehicle, or is caused by an incident that occurred on a roadway.
That sounds like a good definition, but you look at it carefully, and there are so many words in there that are not specifically defined, that an attorney would look at and say, what are these people even talking about? What's aggressive driving?
Actually, I have a definition for that later as well.
Wonderful.
So I've got that. But now the big things that I wanted to point out in that definition is that, one, it is a criminal offense. Road rage is a crime versus aggressive driving, which is just people driving crazy and being aggressive. But actual road rage is a criminal offense. Now, when they talk about an assault is a threat of an attack. It can be verbal, it can be motions, body language, or even an attempt to harm someone. And one of the best examples I've heard of road rage, or I'm sorry, of assault, is that if, you know, back in the kids' game, they have that thing that made you flinch. You know, they kind of, if you flinch, it's an assault. Okay. Now, also for clarity, battery is different. A lot of people say assault and battery, and they throw them together like it's one thing. Battery is different. Battery is actually touching and is usually defined as a non-consensual or offensive contact that is likely to cause harm. So moving back to the definition, so the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration defines aggressive driving as when individuals commit a combination of moving traffic offenses so as to endanger other persons or property. And some other communities define aggressive driving as the operation of a motor vehicle involving three or more moving violations as part of a single continuous sequence of driving acts, which is likely to endanger any person or property. That's a mouthful.
Oh, yes, and it's so loose in its definition that I think it's hardly usable. It seems to me that if a man goes up and kisses his girlfriend or even his wife and she's upset about that, you could be held for battery. And I'm certain that such cases have occurred in the courts. I don't know why I mentioned this example. It's not very good at all, but just interesting.
Now, going on the web and looking up road rage, because I was actually asked to cover this topic by some of the viewers, because it happens more frequently than some of the statistics might suggest. Now, we read in the newspapers about actions, and if, unless it involves a gun and somebody's death, it's not going to make the headlines. You know, there's a quote with a printed press that if it bleeds, it leads. So a lot of these road rage, they don't get reported, but they happen all the time. And I know so many people that have been involved in road rage. What have been your experiences with it?
I look at the drivers around me all the time, and you can predict that some people are going to be exceptionally aggressive when driving. And I have waited behind these cars because I didn't even want to be near them. I let others pass me up, and I could see these drivers darting in and out of traffic up ahead. A lot of them are just very aggressive drivers, but some of them are rage-driven drivers. And it appears to me that that man who passed you up on the road and then someone passed him up, cut him off, and he goes up and tries to get even with them. The best way to do that in California traffic is to drive up in front of him, get in the line in front of him, put on your brakes so he slams into you, and it's his fault, unless he can prove that you did it deliberately to cause an accident, which is an incredible burden of proof. You can tell who's going to have an accident, not because of his aggressive driving, although that's possible too, but because of his actual rage in setting people up.
Now, why do you think people, you know, these the people that I know that have been involved in road rage are normal people. They seem to have a good head on their shoulders, and then they tell me these stories of how they just went temporarily insane. And I mean, and in one case, a friend of mine actually got into a full-on chase because somebody cut him off. The road was narrowing into, from two lanes into one lane, and he wanted to go first and didn't let the guy behind him. So the guy drove into oncoming traffic and then cut him off in front of him and then threw a cup out of his window in the back, and it hit the front of his windshield, and then the whole thing got started. And they chased each other down this windy path. And then even at the end, when the stoplight came up, they got out of their cars and actually exchanged blows. And then when the light turned green, they jumped back in their cars and chased each other again. And then they were throwing coffee cups and stuff at each other back and forth. It was just, I couldn't believe that he had actually done this. Why do people feel, I mean, do they feel safer in their cars? They think, well, I can get away, or I feel protected in this little shell. Why do normal people trip out when they're on the road and they're in their cars? When it, this would never have happened if it happened on the street. But in their cars, it seems to be different.
We're anonymous in the cars. Nobody knows us. We have no friends around us. We haven't a family member with us, so nobody will know about it. It's anonymous. Do what you can get away with. And a lot of people respond to anonymity when they engage in criminal acts. And the aggressive, rage-driven driver is one of them. You think you can get away with it because nobody knows. You're insulated from the world in your steel-covered vehicle, which is more of very thin aluminum nowadays, or plastic. But they feel as if they can get away with it. There's no control over them. They have no responsibility to their family there. And then, the biggest of all, you don't know their basic personality and how they respond to stress in their individual life. And you, again, have no idea of what happened to them earlier that day, or perhaps over the weekend with their family. So they may be already in a pre-rage status, covering it up with the usual niceties of life within the confines of a family or neighbors. All of a sudden, they're released from this. They're anonymous, and they can get away with it. There are very few people in road rage who are actually caught, because things happen, and they're gone by the time anyone can find out who they are, unless there's an accident in which their vehicle is stopped. And even then they try and get away, thinking they can be anonymous, perhaps, by running away, leaving the car registered to them at the side of the road.
Yeah, because things like, you know, license plate numbers and registration tags and things like that can't be traced.
It's awfully difficult if something happens to say, I remember it. It was a car. It was blue. But they can't remember the license plate. And how are you going to identify one blue car in Southern California? I repeat, Southern California, we're a driving capital of the world. and a lot of these incidents occur here.
At least the ones that get reported, when you browse the internet and you go, you just do a search Google for road rage, and everything seems to come up in California and Southern California. It really is very shocking. But again, the incidents, they all involve deaths or massive accidents that block freeways for a certain period of time. And the reporters all say, oh, it was a road rage incident. And, you know, and then they also make sure to make clear that if it was a shooting, that it wasn't gang related. I mean, my own brother-in-law was involved in road rage where the guy pulled a gun on him. He was driving through downtown LA, and I admit my brother-in-law can be a little bit of an aggressive driver. So they got into an altercation with some random guy in some other car, and the guy pulled a gun on him. And so he just hightailed it and drove, and the guy chased him until he found a cop. And then he pulled up alongside the cop and said, hey, that guy pulled a gun on me. And the cop said, okay, stay where you are. And they went and chased him, and they never caught him. And then they came back and took a report from my brother-in-law. And this was in downtown LA maybe 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah, before traffic got intense.
Now, does the bad traffic have an effect on this?
I don't know what you mean by bad traffic. You mean a large amount of traffic?
Well, bumper-to-bumper traffic.
Sure.
Congestion. Does that have, I mean, you would, common sense would think that, yes, it would have an impact, but in your expert opinion?
I think that it would have an impact, but it really depends upon the man's basic personality and also what happened in a personal sense during the immediate preceding period of time. He could be upset for a lot of other reasons and just has an chance a chance to express this on the freeway.
You would think there might be a better way to express yourself than by trying to run somebody over. Speaking of which, that reminds me, there was an incident that happened in our neighborhood here last summer. And a lot of people, when they think road rage, they think car on car. But road rage can actually be car on pedestrian as well. And they sent out an alert to the people in the neighborhood through the email system that I subscribe to. And what happened was, and this is, I'll read from the report here, the suspect drives down the street, narrowly missing the victims and witness who are walking across the street. When the victim and witness yell at the suspect, he negotiates a U-turn and intentionally drives at them. The witness is able to escape the contact, but the victim is struck as he stands in the center median, and the victim dies 3 days later from injuries sustained in the incident. So, and we can all see this happening. You know, you're walking across the street and somebody gets too close and you yell at him or you flip him off or whatever, and the guy keeps moving or maybe flips you off back. This guy turned his car around and drove them down in response to it. So, you can't, I mean, I guess the moral is don't think that the guy is not crazy enough to turn around and drive you down.
It reminds me of the book I wrote about early Los Angeles behavior. There, of course, it led to shootouts on the street. And our great-great-grandfather was killed. He was a sheriff, and he was killed on Main Street.
Yeah, but those weren't the OK Corral lineup at either end of the street and march down pulling your guns. These are more like, you know, real-world ambushes, weren't they?
Well, there was an ambush portion of it, but would you believe one of them happened after, first of all, the sheriff stepped out of a bar and went down the street, and there was another guy in the bar who was pushing him inside the bar, and then they shot it out on the streets of El Monte on Main Street. In fact, he's one of the oldest persons in the local cemetery out there. He was buried in 1855, I think, or something like that. See, it happens in every family, even ours.
Well, since you brought up Los Angeles, and most of these road rage incidents seem to, or at least are reported in Southern California, maybe it's because we have this fixation with our public transportation and we love our cars and so many things happen on our roads. Do you think road rage is a purely American institution, like shootouts at the OK Corral? Is it just part of the culture here, or do you think it actually happens in other countries?
I believe it happens worldwide. Why are we any different than someone else? And car accidents are everywhere. throughout the world. Yeah, if you remember driving in Rome, I wouldn't want to wish that on a worst enemy if we had one. But they're happy drivers there. And I think that there's less road rage there than here. Maybe because they've been a crowded city for so long. And who knows, maybe only the gentlefolk survived to the present day. Got rid of those bad genes several generations ago.
Yeah, I know after the 1994 earthquake, the big Northridge earthquake here, some of the major freeways were collapsed and undrivable, and they were under construction. And I was living in Santa Monica at the time and had to drive to downtown LA for work. So I had to drive, you know, 20 or 30 miles on surface streets when everyone else was on the surface streets, and the congestion was absolutely horrific. And I witnessed, you know, a road rage incident right there on the street. We were in bumper to traffic and at a complete dead stop. And then I saw some movement in my rearview mirror. So I looked back, and this big guy had gotten out of his truck, and he was obviously a construction worker by his clothes, the type of truck. He had all sorts of equipment and things mounted in the back of his pickup, and he was walking up towards a man in a business suit and a little Honda CRV, and he was yelling at him, saying, "Hey, where's your middle finger now, mother blah, blah, blah? Where's your middle finger now?" And the guy was sitting in his car, terrified, holding his club, you know, the club that you use to lock your steering wheel up, and yelling, "Don't come near me, don't get near me." And it's like, "Where's your middle finger now?" So I guess what had happened was he had cut him off and the guy flipped him off. And then when they got into bumper to traffic, the guy got out of his car, walked up to his windshield and said, "Okay, what are you going to do now, Mr. Finger?" And it was funny at the time, but the guy was terrified and obviously had just, you know, pissed off the wrong guy. And then later on, when traffic shifted around and I got behind the pickup truck, I could see the guy had Texas license plates. So,
are you implying?
Well, I mean, I'm certain he was out of state coming in to help rebuild the city because there was so much damage after that earthquake. And then here's this little, you know, snot-nosed guy in his Honda, you know, little sports car compared to somebody who, you know, works for a living and everyone was, you know, upset and pissed off and didn't want to be in traffic. And then he just, you know, upset the wrong man.
I won't describe our travels in Texas, in which we often saw a rifle on the wall on the back part of his pickup, you know.
Now, one of the things that really makes a lot of the headlines here, of course, is anytime that a police officer shoots somebody in road rage. I mean, the media loves to cover that. And so, you know, anytime that an off-duty police officer shoots somebody, it makes front page. And I remember an incident that really kind of blew me away was when two off-duty police officers shot at each other in road rage. And this was, I don't know, more than 15 years ago, and they were driving down the 10. And the way that it was reported, at least, was that they got into an altercation and they...
In their cars driving,
they got into an altercation on the freeway, and then one of them pulled their gun and was brandishing their pistol at the other officer. And the other they're both off-duty officers, and they didn't know it. And so
they weren't in uniform.
They were in their civilian car, civilian clothes. So this guy, one officer, pulls his gun out to brandish his weapon at him. So the other officer pulls his gun, shoots, and kills him. And so he had two off-duty police officers in road rage shooting each other. And of course, that one made huge, probably made national headlines at the time. And it makes it look like, the way that it's reported, it makes it look like cops are, you know, out of control when they're off duty. But again, I think it goes back to the point where there are so many incidents of road rage that just aren't reported. That people flip out and try and drive each other off the road or cut each other off or try and get harm, or in cases of people I know actually getting out of the cars and actually getting into a fist fight and then getting back in their cars and continuing the chase. It blows my mind.
Shall we go back to the old days with the horses? You would get off your horse and try and shoot them down, and then you'd both ride away from the posse after you?
I don't know which was better.
I'm trying to say that mankind hasn't changed much.
You still think we're the same, we're wired the same way that we were 200 years ago? And that civilization...
2,000 years ago.
2,000 years ago, okay.
10,000 years ago in the caves, of course.
And all of our social trappings is just window dressing and not doesn't change the underpinnings of really who we are?
We still have the same endocrine system putting out all these tremendously powerful hormones throughout the body. And psychologists write about them, and rage reaction and fight or flight. It's all well known. Now, today we're just looking at them in the form of what happens when confined in a car, to a car, on a road. But I think that the people who could use the hormones that were raging through their bodies successfully pass this genetic capability down to their progeny and were the result of it. Life today is different than in the caves, but not that much. We drive around in little caves.
So we take our caves with us now.
That's right. Same as a turtle, only a little bit faster.
Now, one of the things I also read were these various methods to try and control your road rage and not get involved in these things. And it seemed, you know, it was like listen to calm music and meditation while you drive. And it's like, why don't we all just get out and do Tai Chi before we get in our cars? Can you recommend anything that would help with this? Maybe things to help avoid road rage, either by inducing it or controlling it within yourself?
I suspect that a lot of it begins when you leave your family that particular morning or whenever. And that if you're upset because of what happened at the family, it courses through your body. These hormones don't turn off immediately, and they're there for a period of time, even though we don't recognize it. And so you're driving with this heightened responsiveness. You're ready to attack, and that came from the morning. I don't think that I would recommend that everybody check out with a psychiatrist or analyst before they leave the house in the morning if they've had an argument, but they should be aware that they would have a tendency to perhaps easier respond because of what the basic condition of their body is that day. Maybe if you were aware of everything, you would never go out and drive on our freeways anyway.
Paralyzed by fear. I'll become agoraphobic.
Yeah.
Okay. I was thinking about going into the what you can do once you're in road rage. Can you think of anything else to cover?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay.
I believe that road rage, based upon a pre-existing condition of that day, can occur to anybody because we all leave home or our place of sanctity upset at times. And either we have to be consciously aware of that or we have to, you might say, go into a mood-altering response of taking a couple of deep breaths, relaxing, and almost a premeditation phase so that you can go out there on the road where these things happen and suddenly and be able to tolerate that rather than respond to the hormones that are raging. Perhaps we can tamp down the response before we leave home. And it's almost like they were projecting for alcohol. Have a test in the car that you have no alcohol on your breath in order to be able to turn on the key to the car. Maybe we could think before we step in, are we angry? Should we drive at all? Let's have a lemonade or something at home before we leave, and relax and go out prepared to survive the world. Because when you go out in one of these with heightened sensibility and the rage just below the surface, you're being able to function in an appropriate, safe manner is certainly reduced.
So to put it another way, you're suggesting maybe not to get pulled into the fight. And sort of, so if somebody is driving aggressively and they flip you off or cut you off, to not respond to that and to have more self-control and self-discipline in order not to escalate the situation? Is that what you're suggesting?
I certainly am. In fact, although I couldn't do anything, I've seen these very angry drivers, and they were cutting me off, and so I've sort of thought in my mind, just drive up ahead. You'll find someone like you, and you'll pay for it. not a very appropriate thing, but I didn't get involved in anything. I was just wishing that they would.
Yeah, meet somebody just like you.
Oh, yeah. And they're out there, too. I would say don't expect too much help from others, because you're there by yourself, and the others don't know how to respond. Even if they're trained, they don't know whom to help, and they may select the wrong person. That's about all I can think of.
Okay. Well, thank you, Doc.
Good luck if anything happens, because I think you're really by yourself, and that your presentation here will help them as much as going to a hospital.
Okay. Well, thank you, Doctor. Appreciate your time. It's been a fantastic conversation, and I'm certain the listening audience will get a lot out of it.
You're saying doctor as if a person with medical training would have experience about this, but they usually haven't. It's just that I've had some very unusual training and experience and work process that most physicians are fortunate enough not to have.
Well, that's why we have you on the show and not them. Okay, thanks again.
Sure thing. Bye.
Well, that does it for this episode. Thank you for downloading and listening to the Practical Defense Podcast. For questions and commentary, send an email to podcast@alexhaddix.com. That's podcast@alexhaddix.com. And if you ever want to train with me, look me up on the web at alexhaddix.com. Until next time, stay aware and stay safe. Kevin MacLeod.